What's going on, Blue Jays fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Suisse. I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Of course, you can find my work on Twitter at We Sports, where I appear in Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. The Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's show, we are discussing free agent pitching targets as part of our off-season coverage. And of course, once again, I'm pleased to be joined by MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
How's it going?
Oh, it is amazing. It's amazing because we are going to be talking about pitchers. We're going to be talking about Max Scherzer, which quickly became one of my favorite topics to chat with you about after our last pitching episode that we did a few days ago. And yeah, no, things are great. Off season's begun and couldn't be happier.
There was some good news on the Blue Jays front today.
Yes. And we're going to get to that right off the top. And that, of course, Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet wrote a piece where the news came out that Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Nate Pearson, he underwent surgery to repair a sports hernia. And the right-hander is expected to take around a month or so to undergo recovery. And he should be ready to go for when spring training happens, hopefully in February. Not holding my breath, but of course, if it appears as though Nate Pearson will be ready to go for opening day. Jen, your thoughts when you hear this news?
Oh, it's great news. One of the things that we talked about in terms of Nate Pearson's future were the injury concerns, right? So it is good to know that they identified this particular injury and were able to proceed with, you know, surgery, and that was deemed the best, you know, course of action, and that the recovery time isn't that long. So that suggests something positive. We will see what shape he's in when he gets to spring training, whether or not there are any lingering effects from the surgery. And then, of course, you know, fingers crossed, you know, he can be healthy and the Blue Jays can start to, you know, see what they really have in him.
Yeah. And you know, Ross Atkins said in this article, quote, he should be fine. This, of course, being Nate Pearson, he should not be disrupted at all. We're excited about how he finished the year and excited about building him up again. And I think that's still a little bit TBD. I mean, I know it is a month in terms of the recovery before he can be cleared to resume throwing after that. The big question is going to be, of course, is Nate Pearson or any of the Blue Jays pitchers going to be allowed to use facilities, of course, you know, in a non-CBA year, that wouldn't be a concern. But of course, if the CBA expires and the players are locked out, that's right, going to be something where it looks like Nate Pearson is going to have to find, you know, whether practice at home or somewhere else. But it is good news because, again, like we talked about on the previous, you know, podcast, when we really focused in on Nate Pearson, you know, he's been a fixture top prospect since 2019. And I think that hopefully this is, you know, the end of the injury troubles for Nate. I mean, because again, we want to see what he can do healthy. And I've really thought, and I'm even going to double down on what I even said, you know, a couple episodes ago, is I really think that the Blue Jays, given what you hear from Ross and this article, they kind of want to see what he's got, right? And to me, you hope that at the start of the season, he's with the big club, right? Because again, you know, as much as you want to value, you know, development to gain up to speed and all that stuff in Buffalo, there's just going to come a time where, look, those type of hitters are very different than major league hitters. And I just think for Nate Pearson, you want to see what he's able to do against big league hitters.
Right. And I don't think that they have a full idea of that. They know what perhaps what his potential might be, but that has not actually come to fruition yet. Right. So, you know, the good news is that he's young, he's got some great tools, and, you know, they'll see what they have come spring training. You know, my guess is, and I've said it before, my guess is that he'll end up moving to the bullpen. I think that if they wanted to make him a starter, then you might see him start the season in Buffalo, and get the reps in, right? Get fully stretched out. But, you know, I do really like the idea of that arm coming out of the bullpen.
And, you know, if you read this article from Arden Zwelling, I mean, Ross Atkins said, we'll see how spring training goes and we'll see right. how the start of the year goes. So I think he's very similar to our mindset in the sense of it's a little bit early to really know. We're going to see. But if it does mean the bullpen for him, which I think you and I both agree with, I think when healthy, Nate Pearson could be a valuable asset to this team, especially with the tools that he has, which we've talked about on previous podcasts. So that's good news. Nate Pearson going to be, you know, had successful hernia surgery, going to be ready for spring training. Hopefully that happens as scheduled. Let's shift gears, Jen. We're going to continue our free agency targets. We talked about hitting couple episodes ago. Today, we're going to be focusing on the pitching. And before we get into some names that obviously are going to be targets for the Blue Jays in terms of the pending UFAs, I think big picture, because I think you can make a case with the hitting, you know, look, okay, you know, third base, right? Or how are we going to maybe replace Marcus Semien? But I think overall, the hitting is still in a pretty good spot, right? Given the core right. guys that they have. The pitching, though, is a little bit more concerning for me, especially the starting pitching. If, in fact, Robbie Ray does not return and Steven Matz does not return, that leaves some glaring holes in this rotation, even though you have guys like, you know, Barrios, Manoah, Ryu, it's, you know, you still need to fill that rotation.
Right. So, you know, if you take a look, the Blue Jays ended the season with the fifth best run differential in Major League Baseball, right? Plus 183 runs. They were 17 runs behind Tampa Bay in terms of that run differential. Okay. And so, of course, Tampa Bay, you know, as it stands right now, is the team that they're sort of really trying to compete with in the AL East. So there's a number of ways that you can sort of try to close that gap, right? You can improve your lineup, you can improve your defense, you can improve your pitching. So, you know, yes, they're probably going to lose Marcus Semien. I expect some sort of upgrade to the lineup. And then, of course, you add in hopefully healthy George Springer all season, and some of that production is recouped there, right? The lineup is a good lineup, even if Semien is not on this team. You take a look at the rotation, and so, yes, you've got Barrios, you've got Ryu, and you've got Manoah. Who's in the mix that's on the team? I mean, Ross Stripling?
Yeah.
Right?
Man, yeah.
Right? So, yes, definitely this seems to be the area of biggest concern this offseason. And, you know, I would assume that this is where the Blue Jays are going to try to spend the bulk of their free agent money this offseason, right? So, you know, they may or may not need to replace Robbie Ray and Steven Matz, right? So obviously that those two are free agent targets that the Blue Jays could look at. And I'm sure that they will talk to Robbie Ray and, you know, probably talk to Steven Matz. So, you know, they are targets and the Jays at least know what they have in them. But I think we're going to maybe approach this by, you know, if the if they both sign with other teams, what are the Jays going to do to try to replace them? Because they'd have to then try to replace essentially the 193 innings pitched from Ray and the 150 innings pitched by Matz.
Yeah, because look, you know, Steven Matz and Robbie Ray had tremendous 2021 seasons, and we've praised them tremendously on previous podcasts. And look, you know, Robbie Ray is probably going to be the Cy Young. I mean, we're going to do, you know, hopefully that happens and we do a full Robbie Ray celebratory episode when he wins the Cy Young. But, you know, he's going to secure the bag somewhere, whether that's with the Jays. Probably other teams are going to lure him with more money. He
right.
deserves that. The Steven Matz one is interesting because already there's a question about whether the Blue Jays should hand Matz a qualifying offer. But again, you know, they then run the risk of accepting, you know, the $18.4 million pact. And you know, what if Matz is not the guy that he once was? So to me, you know, if you lose those two guys, your rotation is exposed. And that's not to diminish Barrios, Manoah, Ryu. It's a decent, you know, it's decent, but it's not deep enough to want to be a playoff team closer to the Rays, which is what this team aspires to be.
Exactly. They have to add another starting pitcher this offseason. Somebody who is, you know, closer to the top end of the rotation. And then they need to add sort of middle to end of rotation guy. They just have to. Again, you know, whether or not either Robbie Ray or Steven Matz is part of that remains to be seen. But you know, I would expect that Robbie Ray will end up signing elsewhere, you know, and it's, you know, if you're looking at it, you know, one of the questions, I guess, about Robbie Ray is, you know, can he actually duplicate what he was able to do this season? His career suggests maybe not. So, you know, as incredible as this season was, and I am not trying to take anything away from what he's accomplished whatsoever, because he made a lot of changes, you know, working with Pete Walker, and, you know, has had what will likely be a Cy Young season. The question as to whether or not that is sustainable for 4 or 5 years is a question mark.
With MLB analyst Jen Smith, this is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. We are discussing Blue Jays free agent pitching targets. We're going to get into some of those names when we come back. But first, let's check in with our friends at Built Bar. Look, I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert, but isn't so full of calories and sugar. Well, it's the perfect time for Built Bar. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. Like, look, one slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. But most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein. That is Built Bar. So go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, we're back on this episode of Locked On Blue Jays. I'm Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith alongside. We are talking Blue Jays pitching free agent targets. So, Jen, the pitching targets in free agency to me, I would argue, interests me even more than the hitting ones.
Yes.
I think this is a really fun, stellar pitching class of really amazing names. But like any free agent signing, it's going to, you know, cost, and it's going to, you know, there's always a little bit of risk. But let's start with the three names I would say that are probably going to be for sure Hall of Fame arms. I mean, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, you look at those three guys, they're probably going in to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I know you're, like the fans, very high Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer, you know, and you, of course, tweeted out who a lot of the fans would love, and Max Scherzer would be that guy. And, you know, look, at 37 years old, posting a 2.46 ERA in 2021, to be durable enough to continue to make 30 starts. I mean, wow. What a year for Max Scherzer that he had in 2021. And boy, what a jack. You know, it would feel like such an amazing moment on social media just from Jays fans seeing him in the baby blue, I feel.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, remembering, keeping in mind that he is, you know, in his later 30s, he pitched 179 innings last season, right? He put up a 5.4 F-war, a 0.86 whip. That was his career low. His strikeout per nine rate and his walks per nine rate are better than anyone that was on the Jays rotation in 2021, with the exception that Barrios has a better walk rate. But other than that, you know, Max Scherzer has bested the Blue Jays rotation in those areas. If you look at his Baseball Savant page, it is just a sea of red highlights designating all of these different statistical categories where he is either, you know, above average to elite in terms of what his percentile rankings are. And this is year over year. The other thing about Max Scherzer is that there's no qualifying offer attached to him. So, you know, nobody's going to be losing a draft pick if they are able to actually pony up the money that it would take to sign him. And so, you know, we've mentioned it before. He has said he wants to pitch into his 40s. So you're probably looking at having to give him a 3-year deal worth a lot of money. You know, I believe highly in Max Scherzer, not just the numbers, because the numbers speak for themselves, but obviously the actual experience that he carries with him, right? You know, the flip side is he can't keep doing this forever. So, you know,
that's my concern. That is
the flip side.
Because, right, you know, sure, he wants to pitch into his 40s. Sure, he is 37, right? Eventually, father time is going to catch up. The interesting thing for me, in like a perfect world, like having Max Scherzer on like a 1 or 2 year deal, imagine like that would be amazing, right? Because then you know, okay, you're going to get someone with that type of experience come through. And to me, you're right. The intangibles are there. I mean, this guy's a competitor. I mean, look, I know he didn't have much in the end in the NLCS this year, but like for him to come in to get like a save against the bitter rival San Francisco Giants in game 5 of the NLDS, we've seen him in Washington when they won it, went on to win the World Series, how effective he was. Like, the intangibles are there, and it would have so much veteran experience to me coming on that side. And I would argue, like, I would, like, compared to the other veteran guys who are in free agency, like, I mean, Justin Verlander just came off Tommy John surgery, right? So yes, to me, he's a big question mark for Verlander. I really like Verlander. I mean, I always have, and certainly he's beaten the Blue Jays, you know, some times in his career, but the postseason success has not been kind to Justin Verlander. And then Clayton Kershaw, I mean, probably will stay in LA. I mean, I have no idea why LA wouldn't be the front runner there to bring him back and try to run things back with the Dodgers. So in terms of the all-in target from probably the pitcher that's going to get paid the most is Max Scherzer. It just, for me, concerns me just the age and the term, because we all know with free agent signings and pitchers, the Blue Jays are probably going to have to, you know, overextend on the term. And who knows what Max Scherzer is going to be in 2-3 years from now.
So, you know, the Blue Jays fan in me says, hey, it's not my money.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Go get him. The analytical side of me, who understands that, you know, of course, this is a business and there's only so much money to go around, like it or not, you know, does sort of, you know, give a little bit of pause, right? For that reason. I still list him, of course, as my top target for the Blue Jays, my preferred target. But, you know, it will certainly cost the team quite a bit of money to acquire his services. Justin Verlander is interesting. From the Cy Young in 2019 to Tommy John surgery, right? So, you know, we know what he can do. You know, Steamer does project him to pitch 161 innings next season with a K per nine rate of 11.03, which is above his career average, and a walk rate of 2.23, which is below his career average. So projections so far right now are liking Justin Verlander's chances at sort of, you know, making a comeback next season. His pedigree, right? We all know his pedigree and we all know the intangibles that he brings. And I think, you know, I'd be thrilled if he were to join the Jays as well. I think you're right on Clayton Kershaw. You know, he's been in LA his entire career, and I would just assume that that's where he would probably prefer to stay.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting. And I think whoever gets those three guys, you know, not only are you paying for what, you know, who they are, you know, at the moment and the name value, but you're paying for guys that have the pedigree, right? And guys that are going to come in wherever they sign and just have that veteran experience, have that experience of knowing what it takes to win meaningful baseball games in September and in the postseason. And, you know, look, I mean, you know, we could debate about, you know, Kershaw, Verlander. I mean, their postseason numbers as a whole, you know, maybe not the best.
That's so great.
I mean, but yeah. I would argue that, you know, Kershaw, when they won in 2020, what, you know, was pretty good, right? And, you know, and Verlander, you know, could be a lot better. And Scherzer of those three is probably the best one. It'll just be interesting because, again, and we'll talk about this coming up after the break, is the other targets, right? You know, because, you know, there are more than just these three guys. There's also Robbie Ray in this mix, right? And you know, I think of the two major pending UFAs in Semien and Ray, I think the Blue Jays are probably going to go after or try to sign Robbie Ray, you know, more just given what he did. But there's a lot more interesting names out there in terms of free agent targets and what the Blue Jays can do in terms of signing pitchers. We're going to talk about those names in just a moment. But first, let's check in with our friends at betonline.ag. We are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Again, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. We are discussing free agent pitching targets, Jen, for the Toronto Blue Jays. We just discussed Kershaw, Verlander, Scherzer. Now the next crop of names. And one player who I've talked about on a previous episode is Kevin Gausman.
Yes.
San Francisco Giants. I know that the Blue Jays, I mean, from reading different articles from the different reporters, I mean, they'd been in the mix on Gausman when he's been a free agent the last two winters. So to me, it'd be interesting to see if another full court press, if you will, can happen again to see what interest is there. You look at the numbers, 14-6 in 2021, 2.81 ERA, 192 innings pitched. He had a good season. All-star, solid season. And the thing about him is that he's younger, 30 years old, right? So 7 years younger than Clayton Kershaw. He is a left, you know, he is a right-handed pitcher. But the thing about Gausman is that he was on a Giants team that was the best team in baseball this year, regular season-wise. So he's, to me, a very interesting one just because he's sort of, you know, you could make a case, the right-hand version of Robbie Ray, right, where he's had an inconsistent past, but he had a good 2021. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, you can look at what the Blue Jays have in terms of payroll and whatnot. You could probably find a deal where you can probably, you know, bring him on for additional years of control, given his age.
Yeah, exactly right. Age is in his favor in terms of what he will be offered. You know, the 192 innings that he pitched last season would replace the 193 that Ray pitched, right? Assuming that Ray's not going to sign here. He posted a 1.04 whip, which was a career low. His hits, walks, and home run rates all improved. And, you know, interestingly, Bleacher Report predicted that Kevin Gausman will be signed by the Blue Jays for a 4-year, $100 million contract. So that's that is the Bleacher Report prediction.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing too. He can't be tabled a qualifying offer. So that helps the market immensely.
Absolutely.
Market immensely. But when you it's interesting you bring up that Bleacher Report prediction because, you know, you look at the Zach Wheeler contract, Jen, when he signed with the Phillies 2 years ago. That was a 5-year, $118 million deal. So, you know, that's about $23.6 million a year. Mm-hmm. You know, in the case of, you know, the prediction, that would be $25 million a year for Gausman to come here potentially. So that to me is sort of the comparable there, right? In terms, because given, you know, you think of Zach Wheeler, his sort of question marks about his, you know, his inconsistencies prior to making that deal. I just think with Gausman, you're right. The age is the factor. And to me, what excites me is he was on a winning team, right? Like he was on a very solid San Francisco Giants team. The interesting thing is going to be, like, do the Giants pony up and sign him back, right? I mean, given what he provided them. I know that the Giants are probably going to be, you know, they're in sort of a similar boat where they're going to be looking at a lot of different names. Marcus Semien, you know, Blue Jays second baseman's an interesting one there. So Gausman, I think, is interesting. To me, can fit into this rotation very nicely and sort of fit, you know, that role that Robbie Ray provided.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. He essentially you know, slots in right at that top of the rotation. So I think, you know, if depending on what the Blue Jays want to do, you know, and how much money they have to spend, you know, do they want to go, you know, top end with Scherzer and risk with the age, or would they want to look at somebody like Kevin Gausman and, you know, sign him to a longer term deal than they'd be willing to give to Scherzer, so that, you know, they're not just looking at, say, the next year or two, but they're actually looking, you know, to extend this window outwards.
Now, Jen, there are some other names, right, who are going to be free agent targets. I mean, Noah Syndergaard. I mean, yeah. He didn't play much in 2021, but that's sort of like a real, you know, maybe, you know, a little bit of a buy low type of a free agent target, right? Of course, he was, you know, drafted by the Blue Jays. It'd be sort of a nice full circle type story. He's an interesting one out there. I think, you know, a little bit off the radar, but John Gray, Anthony DeSclafani is another name. I mean, like, there's a lot of other names here. I mean, which of these, or maybe you have someone on your own that you think is really interesting that the Blue Jays could maybe go after to bolster their rotation?
Well, I think Syndergaard would be interesting, like you said, as that buy low sort of reclamation project. And we know what Pete Walker has been able to do with pitchers in the past. I would definitely be interested in, you know, the Blue Jays, let's say, offering Syndergaard a, you know, a 1-year deal for him to maybe rebuild his value, see what Walker can do with him, because we know that Syndergaard, you know, can put up really good numbers. In 2019, he pitched 197 innings, you know, with a 4.3 F4. So there's definitely, you know, a lot to work with in terms of the talent. John Gray, I think, would be a good mid-rotation option. He's also had injury issues in the past. You know, but he averaged a strikeout per inning. He's got a really good slider. I did read that he had turned down an extension offer from Colorado. He turned down a 3-year deal that was worth somewhere between $35 and $40 million. So, you know, see what he's looking for there. But yeah, he's definitely somebody as well. And then another name that's sort of come up is Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yes.
As a possible target as well, right? I mean, he missed 2020. He had COVID and he had heart issues as a result, and missed the 2020 season, but did pitch in 32 games last year. He wouldn't be top of the rotation. I've seen question marks on, you know, just reading different reports, whether or not the Red Sox will offer him a qualifying offer. So it's unclear right now as to whether or not they will, and therefore whether or not a draft pick compensation would be attached to him. But he's also another name that would interest me.
So to bring this full circle, to wrap this up, I mean, obviously the Blue Jays have a lot of different decisions to make, right? And sort of complement this then with the hitting. I mean, it just makes these decisions, you know, very interesting and something where, you know, it'd be easier for us just to chat about Jen rather than having to make those impactful decisions. But nonetheless, when you look at pitching, I mean, I think where this offseason is going to start is what happens with Robbie Ray, right? What happens with Steven Matz? And I think they're going to try certainly more, you know, certainly Ray. I mean, you know, but look, the money, you know, if the money is somewhere else and he gets lured by that, then so be it. We know what Mark Shapiro said in the past. You know, we're just going to try to get better. What would be, in your mind, a successful offseason from the pitching standpoint? Like, would it just be one of those, you know, all-in type of guys like, you know, Kershaw, Verlander, Scherzer? Is it just a Kevin Gausman or maybe a bullpen piece? Like, what would you say, in your mind, would be a successful offseason in terms of bolstering the pitching staff?
I think they need a number one or two in their rotation. That's what I think they need to go out and get. That right there would be successful in my mind. Whether that is a Robbie Ray, again, you know, assuming that he can keep up with that same levels as 2021, whether or not that's a Max Scherzer, you know, whether or not that's sort of a Kevin Gausman type. That's what I think that they really need to do to not only make the statements this offseason that they are a team to contend with, but to actually really be in contention next season, right? That's the key, is to try to, you know, they have to make up that gap somewhere. And, you know, we've already said this lineup is pretty good, even without Marcus Semien. It's the rotation in particular that is going to need bolstering. So I think that adding a top end rotation guy, and then, you know, somebody maybe, you know, again, back end rotation, I think that that's a successful offseason.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, because if Ray leaves and then you put in one of those top end rotation pieces, I think, look, there's going to be concerns with whatever you do. But I think if you can do that, you know, you go into next season, you go into April really excited that you have, you know, legitimately three good starters. And then, you know, hopefully Ryu improves. So then, you know, you could go in there with four good starters and then a fifth starter who could also be pretty good as well. So I think it's going to be really fascinating, Jen. I mean, the offseason always is. I remember last year prior to, you know, them signing George Springer and bringing in Ray, you know, bringing back Ray and bringing in Marcus Semien, that, you know, there were a lot of these type of conversations and questions. So I think we've seen this front office be willing to make the big moves. So I bet for Blue Jays fans, you know, get excited when that time comes, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to follow. That does it for us, though. Jen, before we let you go, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
That is MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Next week, we're going to be doing trade targets. Yes, we're going to be looking at some of the trade targets. We're going to be, you know, constructing some trades, thinking about different things about who the Blue Jays can get on the trade market, which should be a lot of fun as we continue our offseason coverage. Now, make your second listen, Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So for everyone listening to Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll see you again soon.